It can hardly escape notice that within a year, George Bush and his advisors have succeeded in turning the United States into the leading pariah state in the world. It's greatly feared. The United States is now greatly feared throughout the world. It's regarded as the greatest threat to world peace by substantial majorities. That's true even in places like Canada, where sentiments are unusually pro-American, and where about the United States is now regarded as the leading threat to world peace by twice as many people as give that honor to Iraq or North Korea, far more than Osama bin Laden. And it's far more true elsewhere. Actually, this has become so obvious and so threatening to the United States that it's now even featured in the national media. This week's cover story in Newsweek is devoted to the fact that the United States is regarded by most of the world as the leading pariah state and the major threat to world peace. A couple of weeks ago, a cover story in the Washington Post, its weekly edition, was headlined something like "Dangerous Times," and it was devoted to the same matter. The entire front page was a cartoon which showed George Bush on a tank with a sort of silly smile, waving a flag. The tank was on the end of a long beam, heading off into a chasm. At the other end of the beam was the globe, and the meaning was, if he goes a little bit further, he's going to tip the globe into that chasm. One rarely finds things like that in the national media. And they're referring to something that is quite real and is quite should be of great concern to all of us, as it is to U.S. elite opinion. The Pew Research Center, which does some of the main international polling, has just released a study of devoted to the U.S. image in the world and pointed out that it has plummeted in the last few months. They distinguish between attitudes towards George Bush and attitudes towards America, and it's the attitudes towards Bush that have fallen way down. To some extent, the country. There are a few countries, Poland, Turkey, a couple of others, where it extends to the whole country. When you look beyond that, it's even worse. The World Economic Forum meets every January, Davos, Switzerland. This is the heart of the international establishment, people who call themselves, with some justice, the masters of the universe. Corporate executives who pay $30,000 to get in, and so on. Their January meeting was quite different from their earlier meetings. The earlier ones were full of exuberance about the wonders of globalization and so on and so forth. The January meeting was in a spirit of gloom. Its theme was building trust. And the reason for that was that the World Economic Forum had just released an international poll which was about trust in leadership, and it had turned out that trust in leadership generally had considerably declined around the world, but in different ways. The only of the categories they identified, the only one that had more than bare majority of trust was NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Right below that was the United Nations and spiritual and religious leaders. Below that was Western European leaders. Below them was corporate managers. And at the very bottom was leaders of the United States with 25% trust, which, if you know about polling, means approximately zero trust, because there's a reflexive reaction to say that you have trust in people with a lot of power. That's an astonishingly low figure. And again, this is Colin Powell showed up at the Davos meetings He had a pretty rough time. He tried to defend the Bush administration position on Vietnam. He declared that the United States is going to go ahead no matter what the world thinks. And the masters of the universe were pretty angry about it. The focus was on Iraq, but it's as Charlie said, it's a much more general issue. They correctly regard what's going on in Iraq as just a small piece of a much bigger pattern. Actually, the same is true in the United States. The opposition to the war is completely without any precedent all over the world and here too. But one of the aspects that is also without precedent is the elite opposition, which is pretty remarkable. So there's two major foreign policy journals in the United States, Foreign Affairs and Foreign Policy. Their January issues this year were both devoted, and both of them had major articles analyzing the drift towards war and harshly critical of it. The American Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is the most respectable institution you can think of, even though I'm a member of it, but nothing can be perfect, but they published last fall a long monograph on war in Iraq. This is the first time I can remember that they've ever taken a position on contemporary issues of high concern. It gave as favorable a sympathetic a view as they could of the Bush administration position, and then went through it and took it apart point by point on very narrow grounds, I should say, not on grounds I would have used to criticize it, but sufficient. And again, regarded it as a very severe threat to the United States. And the same is true elsewhere. And as I said, popular opposition has absolutely no precedent. There was an international Gallup poll in January covering a fair part of the world. The support for the kind of war that Bush is carrying out, what they call a coalition of the willing, meaning Bush and Blair, that kind of war, support for it, didn't reach 10% almost anywhere in the world. Opposition was greater in the countries where the leadership lined up with Washington, what's hailed as the new Europe, with great acclaim. It happens to be the part of Europe that is most opposed to the war. Roughly 80 to 90% opposition, even with UN authorization in Italy and Spain, similarly Hungary and others.